America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if you'd join me for just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day to come into this room to conduct the business of Brown County. We pray for your guidance and your wisdom. Father, we look around the world, we see many who are suffering, and our hearts go out to them. We see the effects of war, we see the effects of natural disasters, and many, many people are homeless. Some have lost everything, some have been killed in the wars, others have been injured for life. Father, we pray for peace in this world, we pray for unity, we pray for our country and the leaders of our country. We pray that they would follow those things that would make our country like it should be, as it was in the beginning, one nation under God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I think we just small clarification. I had it just here a minute ago.
I got one addition while he's looking for that.
I got it. Instead of Greg Bennett doing the Brown County Animal Control contract, Sue Ann Worland will speak.
We traded up on that one. So, and then also we talk about the bail.
Oh, my God, I'm going to go!
Recording in progress.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I can top that.
Nothing's 100% in this world. Occasionally, somebody breaks in.
The health department's here with their board appointment.
Okay,
that's
so let me be added.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Health department.
And also the bailiff take-home car. We have a question about that.
Okay.
Oh, Mike
Mogan
said, so now what?
We'll put the health
department down here.
Join again. After the highway. And you had what?
Bailiff.
Oh, okay.
Take home car.
Okay, yeah. All right. We'll put that down here. To the health department. Okay. Any others? Hearing none. Okay, we need to approve the minutes and the claims. If you gentlemen had a chance to review those.
I have. I didn't have any questions. For you?
With you, Jerry.
You okay?
I'm good.
I'd entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve the minute claims.
Second.
Motion to second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Oh, I don't know what that is. I don't know why it keeps happening.
Whoever's doing that, could you please quit?
I stopped meeting again. I don't know whose it is. They're all legitimate names.
John Jim Tilton.
I didn't let anyone undo it, so I'm not sure how that would be.
At least we have our IT guru here with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, can you imagine if that was
the thing? No, yeah. We still be listening to you. I would have been under the desk.
You guys can go. It's recording on here.
Mike's still on there.
No, but, yeah.
You want me to call him?
All right.
Yeah, I can.
Just as long as he's
go for it. I'm going to just do this.
I'm sharing now.
I guess. Screaming stop for a minute.
Okay, you're on speaker, and it's recording, but we can't do the computer.
Yeah.
Is he the only one on it?
Yeah.
You're the only one on it, Mike. I'm going to hang up.
All set?
Okay.
Good? Okay. First thing is old business. Bricks for the courthouse continued. Blake, you have an update on that and status of the belt?
Yeah. Now, obviously, everything went pretty good. Dwayne Parson was instrumental, along with his adorable wife, Lois, in staying on target there. The bell's up and ready for, our great unveiling on the 8th, which is going to be up
8th at 1 o'clock.
So that'll be great. We got finished up the railing, and so the only thing now is on the bricks. We've got quite a few ready, and then I've got one young lady is sending in 6 more, and I told Donna that once we get that in and whatever comes in between that we could go ahead and maybe get our first order in. Okay. Anybody after that wants to do it, then they got to wait until the next cycle. But so that's where we're at with all that.
Going to do that about every 6 months or once a year?
Probably a year, yeah. I'd say. Okay. Once a year.
There's forms over here for the bricks, and there's also forms for the open house at the courthouse on Sunday.
Yeah, it's Sunday, the 8th at 1 o'clock at the courthouse.
I only have probably more of a question. It's come to my attention that we were receiving cash for these bricks.
And I don't know. I mean, I gave them a check for the, I got 2 that I put a check in. I think most of them have been checks, haven't they? Have you seen that?
Yeah, we've had a little bit of cash, but what cash we've had, we've taken photocopies of it, so it's all copacetic.
I was just wondering if handling the cash would create an instance where the person handling the cash needs to be bonded.
I am. We are all bonded.
You bonded? But are you bonded from the auditor's office?
I'm still bonded.
Still bonded. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you two are the only ones that take the cash. Well, we ought to be busy.
Yeah. Okay, so that's it for the bell. You're all welcome to come.
Could you guys make sure you're speaking in the microphone because people in the back can't hear you?
They're on. We're just too far away from
you're
them.
You're too far away from them.
Okay. I guess next on the old business is land for the Habitat for Humanity. Let's put the word on that.
I see Mr. Snyder back there.
Correspondence going back and forth between the attorney and Mark. So, did you guys see those emails?
Some, yeah.
So that's out of Parks and Rec, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's where there might have been some confusion early on about that, but Parks and Rec have a stake in that, obviously, and they're not anxious to. I mean, that is our recreational destination here for the, what the county owns. And so that, although we are very, very willing to do whatever we can to help Habitat, it's a lovely organization, we couldn't, I don't think, do that at the detriment of our Parks and Rec. You know, there's other places that might be better suited for what they're trying to accomplish. And I think I saw Sandy Jones in here. I had heard that maybe even the town of Nashville was looking into wanting to do some bargaining with us on that. I don't know. You got anything to say on that, Sandy?
They just allowed us to put together a plan of what it might look like before they wanted to continue.
And from a Habitat for Humanity standpoint, I appreciate the consideration.
We understand there were some previous potential use of the property we weren't aware of, so we're still going to withdraw our request for that.
Okay.
Understanding that this isn't a no, it's potentially just a not right now, and there's other properties we'd like to determine at a later time.
Appreciate that.
Okay, so no action required on this today.
Appreciate all you do.
Thank you.
Great organization.
Hey, Corey. Before you start the Tilton thing, when you're done with that, when people meet, do you ask them to be quiet so we can continue on with the meeting?
Did you hear that, dear? After the
we got 9 items and 13 minutes per item. I did the math.
Go.
I think Evan's passed our deadline.
You are. Yeah, right.
We have a rule that these commissioner meetings do not exceed 2 hours in length. We have until 4 o'clock to get them. The next thing on the agenda is the Jimmy Tilton rezoning the farm property. And we have a lot of people here, I guess, who are concerned about that issue. Jimmy?
Good afternoon. My name is Jimmy Tilton. Brown County is cherished for its rich art scene, vibrant culture, and breathtaking natural beauty, commonly known as Indiana's Playground. Today I stand before you to discuss how granting the property general business zoning will contribute significantly to what makes Brown County an exceptional place to visit and live. According to recent data from Placer AI, tourist foot traffic in Nashville has declined by 6.5% over last year and 11% compared to 2 years ago. This downward trend poses the critical question, what can we do to revitalize our tourism and bolster our local economy? Despite the property's challenges, being largely situated in a floodway, we believe it holds immense potential to serve our community. With your approval, we can transform it into a valuable asset that provides space for trails, space for parking, and space for fun. This year, the county and the town of Nashville approved a bicycle and pedestrian master plan that includes building a trail on the property. The trail is not just a path through the woods, it's a vital connector between Nashville's arts and cultural districts and the natural beauty and amenities of Deer Run Park. We have proactively adapted our plans to accommodate the town and county's 1.4-mile Deer Run Trail loop. Currently, the walk from the school in town to the playground at Deer Run Park is 1.35 miles along busy Helmsburg Road. Not the safest route for our children. The proposed trail will nearly half the distance to 0.7 miles, providing a safe, scenic pathway that encourages walking and biking. Driving to Deer Run Park presents its own hazards, notably the dangerous turn from Helmsburg Road to McCleary Road. By offering access to the park from State Road 46 through the property, we can enhance safety by reducing risky road maneuvers, decrease vehicular traffic in downtown Nashville and on Helmsburg Road, reduce travel times for residents and visitors alike. Making nature more accessible isn't just a convenience, it's a community enrichment. I am proud to share that after the Area Planning Commission's vote, we received unanimous support from Brown County Parks and Recreation. For Nashville to thrive and grow, we must be thinking strategically about infrastructure. There are properties in downtown Nashville that are prime candidates for development, spaces that have remained grassy parking lots for years. However, developing these lots raises critical concern. Where will people park, especially during peak tourism months like October, which our local businesses heavily rely on? By granting general business zoning, the property can provide ample parking for generations to come. This ensures that local shops and restaurants can continue to flourish without the fear of losing customers due to parking shortages. Beyond trails and parking, the property has the potential to become a hub for family-friendly activities. This fall, we constructed Nashville's first ever corn maze at the end of Washington Street. Unfortunately, due to our current R2 zoning restrictions, we couldn't open it to the public. It remained merely quarantined. With general business zoning, we can host outdoor festivals that celebrate our local arts and culture, create interactive experiences like corn mazes and seasonal events, and offer a variety of family fun activities that enhance our community's appeal. The property's potential is hamstrung with R2 zoning. It can do more to give back to the community, to create spaces where families can make memories, and to attract visitors who contribute to our local economy. We are not alone in our belief that this product's potential. In July, we applied for a Ready 2.0 Arts and Culture Grant funded by Eli Lilly and administered by the Indiana Economic Development Corporation. Out of many applicants, only two were recommended by the 11-county Uplands region as finalists for funding. We were one of them. We anticipate hearing about the grant results next year. I urge you to consider the long-term benefits that granting general business zoning to our property will bring. Revitalizing tourism and reversing the decline in foot traffic, enhancing safety and accessibility with new trails and park entrances, supporting local businesses with additional parking and increased visitor numbers, creating spaces for community engagement through festivals and family activities, and attracting new families to our county, bolstering our schools and enriching our community fabric. We are asking for the opportunity to try.
My name is Mike Carmen, also speaking on behalf of the petitioner. You know, nobody's here for election, I understand that. I want to set the little framework for where you are, for what you do, because the problem we have in all these types of things, in the five counties where I do these types of meetings, there's probably not more than a half dozen people in this room that are objective about this. That is actually exactly what I just said. They're not required to be objective. They are not required to be objective. No one is, except you. The law and the way these ordinances work depend on the decision makers being objective. The people come to speak before you are not by law or by practice required to be or expected to be. They have their personal agendas. They have their personal feelings. Every place I go, we hear the same stories, and they're not wrong. It's just the reality is everybody's trying to protect their own, protect what they already have. The fear of something coming, what's coming in next to me, is overriding. It obscures objectivity. And the fear is always, well, I have what I have, I'm happy with what I have, anything coming in next is going to interfere with that. It's going to impact it. It's going to adversely impact it. And it rarely, if ever, is true. It could be true, but it rarely ever, because you go through a process, as you're doing now, to vet those things that are going to come in, to make sure that they're compatible, to make sure that they work within the environment. And that's what this petition is trying to do. You know, you're going to hear, and you heard before, references to the comp plan. And any show, by statute, that's one of the things you're supposed to consider. The comp plan is like so many well-intentioned documents. There's usually incompatible objectives, not everything being accomplished on every property at every time. So it requires you to consider the comp plan, its objectives. They're widespread, there are quite a number of them. And to balance those with those things in mind, give due regard to those, which is what the law says, give due regard to the comp plan. And in doing that, then assess the comp plan, its objectives, what it would seek to accomplish for the county from a land use standpoint, and how and can you apply that to this petition and to this property. And it works, and it does. And you look at the overall goals out of the comp plan, you have things such as wise and efficient use of limited non-renewable natural resources. That is a major issue on this property. This property, land is unique, land is a finite resource. We use it up, and we use it up unwisely. It's very difficult to come back from that. It's possible, but it's very difficult. And you have a land that has some restraints on it. It has the flood condition, the flood zone, the floodplain. Those things you've heard a lot discussed about. Heard a lot of facts about it last meeting. Heard a lot of opinion about it. Opinions aren't the same as facts. But you heard a lot of facts. And the proposed use of the property has been tailored to the existing environmental constraints. We're in land that has flood classifications on it. What can you do within that, giving due regard to that, respecting the flood classification? We can't make it go away. And we're not going to build up berms and levees and things to change the water flow and change the drainage flow. None of that's ever going to happen. So what can you do wisely and efficiently with that limited resource that is appropriate? And when you consider the nature of the use that's being proposed in this rezoning, that's what it's accomplished and does to you. Minimal new structures, minimal interference with the flood drainage. Not adding more impervious surface unnecessarily to the ground, causing more runoff. The tenth pond issue. So those things are being addressed, have been addressed, and will be finalized in the actual development plan. But you've been given a taste that the petitioner is giving due regard to those environmental constraints on this land and trying to make use of the land that takes all that into consideration. There are some things I will belabor that. When you get to the part of the comp plan that talks about economic development, some of those objectives, to identify areas in the county that are appropriate for, surround, protect integrity and stability of existing commercial areas from encroachment by incompatible uses, encourage open space and natural area provisions, and again, that comes back to the nature of the use plan for this very large property, 85 acres, how much is going to remain green, how much is going to be undisturbed, how much of it is going to be minimally disturbed, and you balance all that together, and you find that you can zone this GB and allow those things to happen. Now, the question was thrown out last time, and I don't expect to be done today, because I certainly would if I were trying to pose this. Well, if you zone it GB, all sorts of things can be done then. There's no guarantee what's going to happen. Well, there are two actual responses to that, one of which, that's true in every property, by the way. Whatever the zone allows, become permitted use of it. That's just reality of every zoning decision you make. So it's not new or unique to this. You're also dealing with a petitioner that has known, as it is, petitioner's not going to go away, is invested locally in doing things right and to make this work. And so you do have that. And you have the real reality is most of the GB uses can't be done here. Most GB uses cannot be done in light of the environmental constraints, the flood zone classification, the desire to preserve green space. Most of those uses, almost actually very few of them, could actually be done here. The whether it's intended to be fear mongering or not, but the intention on, well, what about all these other uses, as a practical matter, just do not exist because it just can't be done here. But what is being proposed can be done, but can be done in the GB zone, which is needed. But ask your support for the petition.
Thank you. Okay, sir. I have a question for you, Jimmy.
Yeah.
The proposed trail to get from CVS or school out to Deer Run Park, just to be transparent, the county wants to buy that right away to make that trail go across your property, and if so, how much do you stand to gain financially from that?
I don't know if I stand to gain anything from it at all. We haven't been reached out by anybody to even give us an offer, but I will say that it, in the past, as of before we bought it this year, even talking about the opportunity to have a trail would be a non-starter, because it wouldn't, they didn't want it. And we actually do want a trail.
Okay. So nobody's approached you about that.
No.
But it's been my understanding, I think, that you're voluntarily able to allow that trail across your property.
We are very supportive. We think a trail is a good thing. I hope everybody else agrees. A trail is a very good thing for our community.
We have a master plan for the trails, connecting Salt Creek Trail with the town of Nashville and trails through Nashville and on out to the park. We have a master plan for that. And we need to finish the Salt Creek Trail first, and then we'll move on to constructing these other trails through Nashville and on out to the park. I think it makes sense to, you know, to tie Brown County State Park to Nashville and on out to Deer Run Park. These are things that our younger people can use, students. Part of the trail plan is to run a leg up to the school from the Salt Creek Trail, which would be in conjunction with the trails in Nashville. So I think that trail plan is a great idea, and I think it would benefit Nashville and basically everybody. I mean, State Park and all the stakeholders. It would be a good thing to finish and to extend as much as we can. And we certainly appreciate your help and cooperation in getting to the Deer Run, because the only other options, like you said, is Helmsburg Road, which is not a good idea to put students and put anybody on that road. So we'd appreciate it if you could take that into consideration.
Okay. One thing that wasn't mentioned that you might find valuable is the property is, it has road frontage on 46, State Road 46. And remember, you've mentioned before that is a strong consideration on whether to get general business if it's on 46. We have over 800 feet along 46. And it's also not spot zoning. There are three other properties that are business zoned properties, including CVS, that total over 1,000 feet of adjoining property for business. So it's not zoned. We're not asking for general business that's an island or by itself, rather. Any other questions?
Just to make a statement, that has been our criteria for general business zoning, is it has to front a state highway. There's no law that says it has to be that way, but that's been this board position. And we've rejected some other proposals for general business zoning because it did not front state highway. So that's one of the factors to take into consideration. Okay. You guys have any questions?
I don't have any questions, Mr. Chairman.
I was just wondering, have you thought about, if this is granted to you, what that's going to do to your taxes? If it goes to general business, you probably, it won't be 25, but it'll be 26 that you get a tax for general business property, 85 and a half acres.
We have thought of that. And as long as we keep farming it until we do something else with it, it's still farm. These grants take a long time. Everything takes longer than you expect, so we don't expect there to be a lot of changes in the property, except, of course, the current changes being the town is putting in some sewer mains, so it's not our doing, it's the town's doing some upgrades on the treatment plant. But as far as our perspective, we'll be farming it until we don't. But we would like the opportunity to do festivals. Festivals don't cost a whole lot of money to prepare the ground for, because it doesn't require much. It just requires some space, and we've got space. So, yes, a good point, though.
Pardon?
It's a good point, yeah.
I would think that would be major.
It will be. Once you stop farming it, it will be major. So we've got to be ready for that.
Any commercial development increases our tax base countywide.
I would expect it to be similar to Hartruth Hills, if I could. To a comparison, maybe even less, because it's in floodway.
Are you going to be looking for any kind of like tax abatement where you don't have to pay for 10 years or anything like that?
Well, in our Ready 2.0 Arts and Culture grant, that requires a one-to-one public match, which we have secured through the county already for the county. We've already done that. If we get the grant next year, but other than the grant, there's not. We've never received any government money from any of our projects ever. In fact, we didn't even request money for after COVID. A lot of businesses got money based on the number of employees they had and how long they lived or worked for the company. And we didn't feel like we needed to take that. We thought a lot of other businesses probably needed more than we did, so we didn't even apply.
Yeah. If I'm correct, you're saying the 2.0, I don't even think the 2.0 is good this year. It might be good next year. The way it was explained to me was the 1.0 in the Upland District, and Kevin could probably answer this better than me. The Upland hadn't spent its 1.0, hadn't spent enough of its money to qualify for 2.0.
Right.
Is that correct?
Correct. They have to have 65% of the money from 1.0 to spend any money on 2.0 for the region. The difference here is, not to get in the weeds too much, but there's three different types of Ready 2.0. It's the regular Ready 2.0. It's a $500 million by the IEDC. That is tax money. And there's two other ones. Arts and Culture, that's funded by Eli Lilly. It's $65 million over the whole state of Indiana. And then another one from Eli Lilly is $185 million for blight and redevelopment. We're not going after the public money on the Ready 2.0 for the regular Ready 2.0. We're going after Arts and Culture, which is funded by Eli Lilly. And our project is separate from all the other ones in the community that have applied for the regular Ready 2.0. So we're not competing against all the other good projects that have already been submitted. They just have to wait until that 65% threshold is met.
So the 1.1 ratio, you would need a match from the county or not?
It would be some kind of an abatement, so a one-to-one match on that, and then we'd have to pitch in 3-to-1. So every dollar that we ask in a grant, we have to get $3 of our money to put in for development of the project.
Well, that's a lot of information, isn't it?
Yeah. If you ask, I'm happy to answer. But yeah. Didn't want to get in the weeds.
Well, I just remember talking to Mr. Allen there, and I thought there was an issue with it, but it sounds like there's more pots of money.
There is.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure there's plenty of pots of money.
Yeah.
Just what the county's responsibility would be also.
We hope that the county can get a good grant for the trail. The trails you guys have planned, so I hope that works out too.
Okay.
Just one more question. Yeah. Did you have a professional draw up the plan for this property, or is it something you did on the back of the napkin?
No, we have Aegis create the site plan. And that was presented in our APC hearing. I'm not sure if they're able to bring that up on the screen or not, but we do have that professionally done, and it was not cheap.
Who did that work?
Aegis, and Kevin Allen is here representing Aegis as well.
Aegis, okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
Do you want to see it? Do you want it displayed?
Cheap, bring it up if you want.
You can.
As long as it's not that screaming guy.
this is my flash drive. Nothing bad on there. So it's basically just the last two things. The rest of it's my staff report, but this is what we need to see. Yep. So where's the 85 acres?
I'll come to the screen. Yeah, thank you. So here's 46. Our property comes along. Well,
Our property comes along 46, which is road frontage here. It comes around through the center of Salt Creek.
There are also monitors on each side of the bridge.
And then goes up north and follows Helmsburg Road. It comes down around where the creek is and follows the center line of the creek to the back, to the forage in the beginning here. So it's 85 acres here.
Could you point out the sewage system or sewage plant?
The sewage fuel plant was is right here. That wasn't our choice. That was decided by the town back in 1973, technically. But even before then, they had one there.
What's the, where's the, all this construction where they got all the major excavation going on right now?
Yeah, they've got excavation going on right here to add a new gravity-fed sewer main here. And they also have hopes of putting in a new sewer main along Cuba Plant Road.
Where's your parking lot going to be? Is the parking lot on there?
Yeah. This is the town's public parking lot. And here we have a parking lot additional. This is ours. That would help support the local businesses and restaurants here in town. And we also have festival parking here. Do you have any other questions on the site plan or any other questions in general? We'll be happy to answer.
Could you just,
where is the Deer Run?
Is that a better thing to point out? Can we go back?
Deer Run Park, by the way, is here. And Deer Run Park is also in a floodway. You can see the floodway delineation here. So that's what you do when you have floodway. You use it for parks and for outdoor fun.
Or wetland.
Yeah.
Jimmy, do you own the property at the sewer plant? Do you own the land that the sewer plant is on?
No, we own the land around the sewer plant.
Just out of curiosity, where's the CVS?
The CVS is right here. It's adjacent to our property here.
Where will the trailers be?
The RVs.
RVs are over here.
Right, on Helmsburg Road.
And access to it would be on Washington Street to get in.
Oh, with the RVs?
On Washington Street?
That's great.
For businesses
in town.
Widen Washington Street?
Any other questions?
What about the environmental impact report as far as wildlife?
That is not, we haven't gotten to that point in the project yet.
But you want it approved, but you just haven't gotten to that point yet. You want it resold now.
This is not appropriate. Yeah. We need to ask some questions.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, let's not get out of control here. If it comes to the point where the public speak, we'd like for you to come to the microphone, state your name, and say what you have to say. Because when the people go to read the minutes, they don't know who was talking in the background. Sometimes they confuse what we say if we're not close. So just everybody hold on. We'll give you a shot.
Got a mic.
Jimmy's got it.
He's got it.
Okay. Are you done, Jimmy?
Does he have any more questions or comments?
I don't think I do. I'm good.
Okay.
Okay, let's. You want to take some public comments?
Yes, we'll take some public input.
So you want to go first?
I think yeah. I should probably.
Yeah.
Unless you want me to go last. But by then, that time will be too hot and I won't be able to talk. That's not a question.
Do you mind if I go first?
I'm just from Bloomington and I have an appointment at 5 o'clock.
Is it not a big deal if you cannot?
It's up to you guys.
Yeah, you won't be long with it.
No.
Okay.
Not unless you have questions for me. Right, I'll make it real quick.
Oh, no, you're fine.
So I'm the planning director, Kayla Robertson, representative of the Area Plan Commission. You guys have all this certification, and I know a lot of the folks here were in that meeting too. The certification for a negative recommendation was certified to you all on the 25th of November. It was a negative recommendation, a 4-3 vote to send a negative recommendation to the commissioners. And you guys have everything from both meetings, So if you have any questions, I'll hang out until I pass out from the heat and let me know.
I thoroughly reviewed these, all this paperwork, and I appreciate you getting that to us early. Yes, thank you very much. And I believe we have a lady here that wanted to speak because of a time constraint.
Yes, thank you, and I apologize for that. But I definitely wanted to be here. I'm Vanessa McClary from Bloomington, Indiana. I want to say a little bit about my background just to let you know that I believe in giving back and helping however I can. So I served 9 years on the Chamber Board of Directors in Bloomington. I'm currently on the Economic Development Commission. I'm currently also on the Board of United Way, Salvation Army, and a few other things. I only bring that up to let you know that I'm real concerned about things that we do in our communities, and I'd like to help however I can. So the main reason I'm here today is because I've organized the Hot Air Balloon Festival in Bloomington for 12 years. I started as Kiwanis Governor for the state of Indiana, and I did that so that community could come together, have a good time, and make it family-friendly. So I had met Jimmy at one of our conventions for Indiana State Festival Association, and I was really intrigued by what he was trying to do here. And for me as an outsider, I love your community, and I mean that. Someone asked if we'd retire here and been in Bloomington all our life, and I'm saying, I think we might, because I do love it over here. So when he mentioned it, what I was thinking was bringing those beautiful balloons over here to your community to have a festival is like the perfect spot. For one, we have people that come from all over the United States. They've never seen your community. They don't know what a gem you have here. So if I could be a part of that and organize the Hot Air Balloon Festival here, and that would look like whatever you want it to look like, not what I want to look like. It could be beautiful all-colored balloons. It could be caricatures such as Smokey Bear, Tweety Bird, you know, some unique hot air balloons. We would love to be here in your community on those grounds. And for me as an outsider, I understand all the dilemmas happening here, but I would love to see him. He's had that property, I understand, in their family for over 100 years, 85 acres, that's on a floodplain that you can't use for much of anything. It would be such a delight to know that we could bring people here to your community and have a nice festival. Thanks for hearing me. I appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? We limited 2 minutes, please, per person. So hopefully we can get everybody in.
Well, Jerry, I have this question is directed to you because I believe one of your criteria for rezoning for general business is that it's along a highway. And he pointed out that this is along Highway 46, except do you believe your criteria applies? Because I don't think he's accessing it from 46. I don't think they're actually doing any access from 46. So does that actually apply? They're accessing it back through the city. Not along 46. So it doesn't, if you're adjoining the highway, but you're not actually accessing it from the highway, you think that's good enough?
Well, we have situations, at least one I know of, where property was zoned general business, but the access was from county road, but the property fronted a state highway, and we approved that.
Okay, and am I correct, according to the plan, they are not actually planning to access it from Highway 46?
Jimmy, are you or not?
We are planning to access it from 46 also.
How much is that?
Right on 46 where the trail plant road is, to use that road also to have additional parking for Nashville. And then you have the trail system coming through. It's the entire property is accessible there. That is our main parking lot, is off of 46, which will decrease traffic, vehicular traffic in downtown Nashville, and actually open it up to have to think about how to make Nashville more pedestrian friendly.
Sir, what was your name?
Rich Stanley.
Rich Stanley, okay, so.
My name's Becky Staff. I just got a quick question. Does it need to be rezoned now if the Tillmans haven't got all their reports and studies compiled yet? Why the need to rezone right now if you have yet to study the environmental impact and all these other issues, see if you get the grant? Wouldn't it behoove them to save the tax base and do more research and then present this when they have more concrete information and then ask to rezone? And then the other point I would just like to make from the previous gentleman and access from 46, it still isn't walkable for if you are anywhere near CVS, the people trying to walk across to a tourist, it's very difficult. I'm from here as well. I can't make that trek very easily. I appreciate that we don't really have places for parking spaces, but wouldn't it be better to have the RV park by 46 for the RVs to have easier access to get to the highway and less cumbersome travel, and maybe redo their, like make it opposite? Thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
Hi, David Patrick. I live here in the town of Nashville. One of the things we haven't really talked a lot about is the RV travel trailer part of it and the sewage and water that's needed for that. We also haven't talked about the way this trail system is set up and the new drive coming in from Washington Street, how it crosses that trail 3 times. And how we would need pedestrian signals and things like that because of safety issues with our pedestrians and RV trailer traffic. One of the things I found in my research is that there was an easement agreement on file at the county recorder's office, and that was as a result of Rhonda Jones for the town of Nashville had negotiated with the Tiltons because we needed a permanent easement. We needed a temporary easement to make these upgrades to our sewage treatment plant. Evidently, the Tiltons did not care for the terms that were out there, and so Rhonda filed a lawsuit, and I found that on mycase.in.gov. And attached to that lawsuit, there was a list of terms that the Tiltons wanted us to address. So an easement agreement was issued, and one of the things that's addressed in that is it clearly states that as far as water and sewage, if there is capacity at the time of the request for service. Now, part of our updates also are for the state park so that we can take on more sewage from the state park. They bring in over 1 million visitors a year. It's important to help them out. We've talked about affordable housing in this county. Hopefully, we're going to get somebody who's going to be able to put 70 or 80 units of apartments in somewhere. And just those two things alone could make it so that we are at a capacity that we're comfortable with, and we may not be able to provide sewer or water out to this travel trailer park. The Tiltons, under that agreement, would also have to do what everybody else does and execute a water service agreement and pay the fees. They would have to comply with all the applicable agreements, laws, ordinances, rules, and regulations. And this statement clearly states, neither this agreement nor any term herein shall be construed as a guarantee of capacity or of allocation of capacity by the town.
Your 2 minutes is up. Finish, if you would.
Okay. I really think that your county attorney should look at that, and also the ordinance that is for the new sewer rates, which addresses any potential new Class 2 users, including any existing Class 2 users who sell or otherwise change the billing entity for the sewer services outside of the town limits of Nashville, Indiana, shall be annexed into the town of Nashville, pursuant to IC 36-4-3-1.
Okay, please.
Gotcha.
We have some other people I'm sure want to speak as well. Come to the microphone. State your name. Also, state whether you're from Brown County or not, a resident of Brown County.
I am a resident of Brown County, my lifelong resident, Julie Walton Lee. I guess I would just like to address the commissioners in saying, please give us your answer. What the attorney has told you is Blake recusing himself from this discussion and further vote.
Well, that's already been addressed through the legal process, and there's absolutely no reason that I have to recuse myself. If I had the only reason I would have to do this is through the, how many attorneys before you start doing that? If I had any fiduciary or financial interest in that,
that would be a recusable standpoint. But right now, there is zero reason for me to recuse myself.
Objectivity.
You came to a public meeting speaking on behalf of who, we don't know.
I just told you this has gone through legal, and I'm fine. But thank you, Julie, for that.
I don't think the majority of anyone in this room thinks that that is
legal. Is Mike Moga on the line?
When you have it on the agenda for the very next day, and you speak the night before in favor of something, and speak as a recommendation for the character of the people that you're endorsing, that seems to be that you have a big...
As was pointed out to me, in small communities, if you recused yourself because you were for or against various issues, you would never get anything done. And if Mike wants to...
But you put yourself into this by coming to the meeting. Nobody said, Blake, come to the meeting and speak.
Apparently there's nothing wrong with that.
I think most people would disagree with that. And I think that if you continue further, there's liable to be a lawsuit filed.
I mean, you know, that's fine. That's what the legal system's there for. I've been sleeping with one for 35 years. I know how the process works. Okay?
So do I.
So.
Thank you, Julie. The 2 minutes is up. Okay, next.
The only thing I remember just recently here, Mr. Tilton's lawyer said something about the commissioners being objectively and listening to everything before they made a decision. Sounds to me like your decision was already made.
My name is Bill Goro. I am a resident of Brown County. I might want to add on this that I don't know about the attorneys that you consulted with, whether they live in the community or not and vote here, but most of the people here do vote. So keep that in mind. That is an alternative that we have. If we feel that something isn't appropriate or correct. The other question I would have, and I want to say that it's commendable that the Tiltons have such community spirit, but I'd like to know the answer to the question of what they stand to gain by it, because if they really want to give back to the community, don't even have to worry about rezoning, donate it to the community as parkland, and then we can do the trails and everything else that goes with it. And if that doesn't sit well, they could always try to make a profit and see if they could sell it to the community. Thank you. Yes.
Next. Okay.
I'm hurrying.
Yeah, it's all right.
Hi, my name is Katie Lane. I live in the community as well. And my concerns, not my opinions, but my concerns, since I have a master's in environmental science, is about the use of impervious membranes or backgrounds in order to put the RVs on a stable plane when they park. Nobody wants to show up here with a $100,000 RV and have it damaged in a flood. So when we're building, it appears to be berms, perhaps, along Helmsburg Road. I'm not sure how to read that map. But what's that going to do in terms of adding to trouble with floods along the way? Hot air balloon idea? Love it. Let's do it at the fairgrounds. It sits empty all the time. We can make money using the fairgrounds. Yes, that's an opinion, so you're right on that one. But this is not in the best interest of the residents of Brown County to have this, as it sits, being approved. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay.
My name is Rita Simon, and I've lived in this community for 54 years. But there was one thing about, I was sitting closer to the map, and there's a pink area. And the pink area says, proposed building platform. And I'm aware that the Tiltons do own all the property up to the Jacksonburg condominiums, and there's already a residence on that property, and I don't know if that's on that area, or I'd just like to know what the building platform is in the pink area.
She has a question that maybe you should answer.
That looks like the barn, maybe.
No, that's not the barn.
Well, right now we have two farmhouses on that piece of property, and that is not dependent on zoning, because it is R2 zoning. We could tear down the houses and put some duplexes on it. It's really not it's not subject to whether we get general business or not, and we don't have any firm plans for it. Kind of like the old house myself. I'm a little bit and we are going to be keeping the barn, by the way, and the barn is part of our grants to get it revitalized, to keep the barn.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to know that that's not going to be general business, because when I saw that proposed building pad, I thought... And I just want to say that I owned a condo adjacent to this land for probably 25 years, and as far as care of this property in the past, and I know the young gentlemen are new owners of this, but their grandfather had it for many years, and it got mowed once a year if it needed it, and so it was always covered with weeds and things not nice to look. In fact, we put in border plants to try and hide what was back there. So.
Okay, thank you. Next.
Hello, I'm Phil McCallum, resident in Brown County. I just wanted to bring up the recusal issue one more time, if you'll excuse me, because it's going to have a direct impact on whatever vote is taken on this issue today. I've just brought up a definition. To recuse is to remove oneself from a position of authority or to disqualify oneself from a proceeding due to a potential conflict of interest or bias. And I believe that Blake has, on the record, expressed a bias in this issue. And the other thing about recusal is, yes, you may not be legally obligated to recuse yourself, but you're perfectly able to voluntarily recuse yourself on ethical grounds.
Thank you.
My name is Holly Houston. I'm a resident here. About 5 years ago, we moved here, and I remember the day that my husband and I, we drove through the town, and I just had to smile because I thought it was such a neat town. It has this great vibe to it. And, you know, there's a reason why RV parks are put way on the outskirts of town, because they are ugly. And I own an RV, okay? They're ugly. And please, you know, you're thinking about putting something really ugly 3 blocks from this charming little town, and you're going to ruin it. You're going to ruin it for a buck. So please consider this and vote no for this.
I'm Sarah Lytle, and I moved here about 4 years ago. And I agree with you. The RV park doesn't have a place in town and right next to Deer Run Park, where there are so many amazing things happening for families. Another issue that I have with it is, you say you're not going to create, unless I'm hearing differently, you say you're not going to create berms and put in surface structures to change the water and the runoff. How are you building parking lots and roads for RVs without gravel or asphalt or elevation? The other point I wanted to make, and I'm sorry the lady from Bloomington is not here, but I have been a hot air balloon enthusiast. I lived in Muncie, where the festivals used to happen. Yorktown bid to get a festival and move it alongside their riverfront. It was a failure because there wasn't enough room. Hot air balloons cannot take off and land with trees around and in a community with power lines and lights. So I'm just saying that, excuse me if I'm quavering because I'm real passionate about outdoor fun and community. What looks good on paper and what looks good in theory doesn't always transfer into reality and common sense. Thank you.
Next. Paul.
My name is Paul Navarro, and I'm a resident of Brown County. And I attended the APC meeting, during which I heard many complaints about this project in terms of the possibility of accidents and flooding. And my question is this. If anything occurs where somebody gets hurt or somebody's property gets flooded, who is going to be responsible for the lawsuits that come into it? Will it be you four or... I think it's important that we know that.
That's a possibility. When they file lawsuits, they sue everybody.
Are you okay with that?
I can't say.
I hear that you say I can't say. We asked that.
My vote will speak.
Well, we asked for a site plan and a traffic study. Haven't seen those yet.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
My name is Brittany Stedman. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I heard your vote. You've already came up with your vote as well.
No, I said that my vote will speak when I make the vote.
Okay, I'm just making sure that we're not going in. I'm kind of disappointed. This is supposed to be factuals, and I've heard a lot of opinion with people who have no facts behind any of their statements. We're talking about how a property looks. RV parks, you guys don't like them. Some people might. That's opinion-based. I'm shocked that in a country built on freedom and doing what you want with your property, we are trying to tell someone, hey, because I think an RV park is trashy, you can't do what you want with your land. I'm kind of disappointed. We have a lot of owners here. I owned a shop in town for 7 years. We have owners here of businesses who've actually made Airbnb and overnight accommodations. There is a need for the businesses for overnight accommodations. There is a lot of people who come down in October in our busy months, which what we rely on as business owners, and people weren't able to find places to stay. Driving businesses to Columbus, I mean, you know, these people are having to take their business to Columbus, Bloomington, Morgantown, Indianapolis, or they're not even staying and putting the money into our... And you know what I hate the most? Is how disrespectful people are in this room. When someone is talking, we are all adults. We should give everyone the respect to listen. And you cannot hear and understand someone else's thoughts if you are speaking while they are speaking. I think we were incredibly rude to a lot of speakers today. I'm upset that we are allowing this. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you. Next.
Hello, I'm Chris Ross from Brown County. As I understand it, your task, your only task, is to decide whether this 85 acres can be general business, be changed to general business from residential. Is that correct? That's your task. From what I've seen of the plan that was presented and the information that I've heard, it sounds like this is a plan, pass it, and then you'll find out what's in it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that I don't think this plan is ready to be decided on, because you do not have an environmental impact study. You do not have a traffic impact study from the state. And there's a lot of unknowns that have been presented. You don't know about the flooding, what's going to happen there. You don't know how it's going to impact the residents who live around there, who have a lot of opinions about it. This may or may not be a good project. I'm not here to say it is or isn't. I'm here to say it's not ready for decision. You need more information. The other factor that's really important is changing to general business is based a lot on the comprehensive plan. Well, we're in the process of making a new comprehensive plan, and that hasn't been completed yet. And I think it would be irresponsible to make a decision until that is finished. So my recommendation is either say no or table. Thank you.
Okay. Next.
Jerry, I have a question.
Yes.
How many people are you going to have speak? Because we have bids to do. And
yeah.
Are you going to?
Probably another about 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah. You've got to leave enough time to do our business.
So normally you get 5 minutes if somebody's talking on behalf of the group, right? I'm with the Brown County Peaceful Valley Heritage Group. I sit on the board of directors. You guys, this is a question directly to the commissioners. Do you appreciate that the town of Nashville is a historical district?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. This, if an RV park comes in and somebody stays in over 30 days, that's considered a permanent residency, correct? If they put this in, we will have several permanent residencies. Look at the RV park out in Nauvoo. You will have several permanent residencies. The percentage of houses within the county that are historical versus non-historical puts the jeopardy of the historical district at risk. So by making a decision on this RV park and allowing this, it's going to put a district, historical cultural district, that they're applying a grant for at risk.
What's your name?
Jeremiah Wright.
Thank you.
Okay.
This percentage is directly impacting, or this decision is directly impacting that percentage of historical homes within the county that should be considered. That this decision will have a direct impact on whether Nashville continues to be a historical district.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Pam Jules, local business owner, and for full disclosure, the mother of James and Andrew. Something that I doubt if anybody's really thought a lot about is a potential societal disruptor called self-driving cars. Self-driving cars are going to be a lot like this thing that everybody walks around with, a computer in your pocket that 30 years ago, 40 years ago, no one could have ever dreamed possible. But self-driving cars are coming, and they're already here. And so it's just a matter of time before a self-driving car becomes a reality. Self-driving cars are going to be potentially very disruptive to the way we do city planning. So for one, self-driving cars don't have to be parked right next to where you're going. There can be an area outside of town so that the parking areas that are already in town can become future economic development possibilities. And it also will provide a way to make our local, our downtown area much more pedestrian friendly. So planning ahead for this imminent disruptor, I think, is really important, and having parking available outside of town for self-driving cars, I think, is would be really cool. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Next. Hello, Brittany Davis. Like Jimmy and Andy, I no longer reside in Brown County, but I'm sixth-generation Nashville resident. I want to start by saying the meeting was advertised that there would be a Zoom link, and according to the Brown County chatter site, no one has been able to access the Zoom.
So. Actually, I'll correct you right there.
Okay.
They absolutely are able to. I have limited admittance because what happened on here was a legitimate person in the waiting room, and it was extremely inappropriate. You couldn't see the picture that was on the screen, but it's nothing you would want legalized to see, I can assure you.
Okay.
That. So, I'm admitting people as they're posting on chatter, their full name. Some people just joined as iPhone. I won't admit that. There's no way to control who that is. For today, for what we've got going on, we will be switching streaming platforms so that no one can even join in a meeting. They can just watch a live stream from now on.
Right. So. Yeah, people were saying they could not hear anything in the meeting.
Yeah, because they haven't been admitted. So people on that stream, I've been talking to them on Brown County Chatter,
Perfect.
Admitting them.
Thank you for getting that working. My mother lives at 259 West Washington Street, and this proposal has the RV ingress and egress 16 feet from her living room window. Nashville's already tight, very busy. This just won't work. And also, I've talked to my colleagues that work with DNR, IDEM, EPA, and Army Corps of Engineers. And I think you'll be surprised that once you actually apply for this construction permit, it's not going to be approved because you're in an active floodway. And also, there are probably wetland soils there. It's just not going to work. Currently, our area floods. I submitted photos for the last meeting. And the water doesn't currently get in the house, but once you develop and raise up the base flood elevation, all that water is going to displace into Nashville. And who's going to take care of that? I believe Brown County taxes will go up for the resources to mitigate the flood and help the community. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Christy Crandall. I'm a PhD hydrogeologist. And I totally agree with everything Brittany said. This site, this area is, if developed, will push floodwaters into town. I mean, I know they say they have engineering structures that can stop it. Well, we saw how well those work. In addition, we have climate change coming down. Indiana's gained 5.6 inches of more rain per year in this area in the last 125 years, and the rate is increasing. 1.65 inches per year more rain every year. So we're going to see more flooding. We already know it comes more at the same time. It's not spread out like it used to be. So this is going to, if there's this development occurs in that floodplain, it's going to endanger many residents in the town of Nashville and businesses. And who will be liable for that? I agree with one speaker. I mean, you guys, two of you are term limited. I understand leaving office January 1st, so it won't be your problem anymore. But the damages and to residents, businesses, and automobiles, and maybe even people that result from more flooding in Nashville, and it will also impact how much Nashville can, you know, can have, how much money they have, because they're going to have to pay a lot of this damage and infrastructure. So please reconsider if you're considering approving this. Do not. And think about the future, because Brown County deserves forward-looking commissioners who will make decisions that will benefit our town and our county for the future. And if you look at Indianapolis and Columbus, they put in greenways along their rivers and streams after a lot of flooding and damages, and look up the damages they've had to pay over the years. Greenway development is what people do in floodplains to protect their cities and counties for the future.
Yeah, Tim Clark, Commissioner-elect. Guys, as I understand, you have three options: vote yes, no, or table it for 60 days and pass it on to the new commissioners to take office in January. And I prefer the table it or vote no at this point. This is a change, this kind of meeting. I've been to all these. It's really, you're looking for a modification to the comprehensive plan. And the current comprehensive plan was based on community input approved by the commissioners. And the folks that you contact for that particular area are the folks that have spoke out against this. They had a petition, 150 people. I don't know, that meant, I think the majority of the residents that are affected by this, the neighbors, they're adamant against this kind of thing. Well, those were the same neighbors who would have provided input on the original comprehensive plan you're attempting to change. And so when you're talking about this, and now we're in the process of doing a new comprehensive plan, the kind of questions that were raised here need to be addressed, and you need a lot more detail than 2 minutes that people are allowed or the time that you're allowed to commit. I'd estimate I'd have maybe 30 or 40 pages of supporting analysis on a lot of the issues that came up. General business was a good thing. What kind of general business could you possibly put in there? Floodway was another one. What's the pros and cons of that one? What would DNR weigh in? What's the impact of that? Not talking the other ones. And the other separate issue is this whole trail. I don't know where that fits. That doesn't really fit in the current comprehensive plan. So what's the cost of the trail? What's the cost to the county? Is it going to require some kind of zoning to put a trail in? All those are unknown questions. And, you know, I just hope that you don't... And final point, I guess, is you're setting a precedent by this one. So when we start doing the new comprehensive plan, other people will look at what happened here and they go, okay, my area too, or not my area. And so this isn't the forum to do that kind of change. especially when you had the reactions that you had from the residents that was known. And there's not too many meetings that we've had over the past 7 years I've been to these things where you pack the crowd. And this is one of those. And the citizens are telling you. So the vote by the APC, based on the comprehensive plan, based on their knowledge of what went into that, was 4-3 opposed to that. So I'd say respect that, and then let's deal with this on the new comprehensive plan as to what we want in these areas. So thank you.
Dietrich, I have residence here in Brown County. I'm also a business owner. Just a few things I'd like to point out. First off, the Tilton family or any other family in this community that owns things doesn't really mean that we should ask them to give it away to be generous. If they're willing to work with us and work with the community to make property better for the community, they still retain ownership. I think that's why we have the privilege to buy something. I do think that a comprehensive plan, that I do not know what the comprehensive plan here is, but as a business owner in Johnson County and a property owner in Johnson County, I'm dealing with some things that I want to do in my community, and I'm being told that this whole group of people that have plans for my property when I die are keeping me from building structures right now on property that I own. So I think that these are two separate things. As far as the economic growth that I think could happen from that property being utilized like Mr. Tilton is proposing, I think it could be good all the way across the board for everybody in Nashville. And I think that the idea of us working together on a contingent basis, if it becomes general business, what businesses can be there? This is the bureaucracy that can create those guidelines on what we can do. I know that we say if it's general business, all these things are allowed. I think that the great concern is that some things would go there that wouldn't work, and they're allowed to go there, so now we have a big hodgepodge mess. So we're restructuring this. Let's restructure it right. Let's work together. Let's not make it a no. Let's make it a contingent upon these things. The town could gain parking. The town could gain money from that parking if we propose to do and work together in a certain way. That doesn't mean they have to give up the property, but maybe that's some contingent ways they can do that. As far as it being a floodplain, Johnson County had that happen in 08, and one tree that they planted in that little park on the south end of town, it takes 2,700 gallons of water per year for one tree. I'm hearing about all these parks that we're creating. That could absolutely solve some of those problems. Thank you very much.
We've got the time for maybe
1 minute.
Two or three.
Did I get in the queue? My name is Clara Stanley. I'm Brown County resident. I have kind of observed all these procedures through many meetings. I would like to remind you, all of you, that Jimmy Tilton, I had a chance to know him a little better. Jimmy Tilton brought this idea that will brighten the future of Brown County. What I want to tell you is that do not throw the baby when you throw the water. We have to appreciate the person who have spent a lot of time and energy and research to come up with the idea. That, of course, I throw a lot of questions whether this is a personal benefit. It could, but his idea itself is such a very outstanding, brilliant idea that we do not throw whole things away because of certain technical problem. That, sure, that also one thing I want to add is that he's not a machine. He's a human. If you have any idea, talk to him. Because so that we adjust plan. We can make things happen in a way that not everybody can agree, but like we have to really focus on the big picture and the future of our education, kids and their future, the benefits they're gonna get from this. So I would like to ask you, I really appreciate you, respect all your concern, but we have to kind of stick to the big picture that we have this gift of Jimmy Tilton and his family involvement and contribution to community. We should not underestimate this. Thank you so much.
Okay. Doug Cobble, I'm an old Brown County resident. A couple of observations. I was very impressed with Mr. Tilton's presentation. Very concise. There's a lot of good points there. I think his friend next to him with the suit did him a disservice when he stood up and insulted the entire group by saying only six people are ejected. That's really not a smart, wise thing to say. It really isn't. It really isn't. I mean, the young lady on the end pointed out that we need to be kind to each other. We do. I mean, the gentleman insulted all of Mr. Tilton's friends and relatives here. I sat on the planning board 20 years ago, and I do know that we've had areas we have zoned GB that we have sent back to the petitioner to come back and tell us things that they will not allow on that zoning. Simply because it's GB doesn't mean you can't add restrictions to what can be done in the future that can go with that property. You don't have to simply have it be GB. And also I would say, for objectivity and facts were mentioned in this and that, we have a group called the Area Plan Commission whose job it is to make those recommendations. And I think that when they make those recommendations, that it really is a spectacular miscarriage of government not to agree with those. I mean, it is, they are people tasked with making those decisions and those recommendations. Thank you.
Two more maximum.
There we go. I have a baby in my hands. My name is Joy Tilton. I am the wife of Jimmy Tilton, and I am for this rezoning. I believe my husband and my brother-in-law, Andrew Tilton, have some big ideas, really big ideas. And I know Nashville struggles with change. But we need people who are forward-thinking. We need people who are wanting to move into the future and make something better for the people who are coming after us. I'm holding in my arms Jubilee. It is her second birthday today. And Jubilee means return, release. And I believe this land, with the returning and release of this land into general business, could have such potential to bring life to Nashville. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jared Blake. I'm your team. My name's Alan Brown. I'm a resident, and I got a few, I think it's more questions that I think you all should ask about this. There were approximately 150 people that signed the petition against this, right? Most of them live within a few hundred feet of the property. I think a lot of them are here today. How many people here are against this that are neighbors of the property? Just stand up for a second.
Against it.
Against it,
yeah. Against
it and a neighbor is what I'd like to see. So these are the people that live close to the property, right? This is a fact. Somebody brought up a good point about that. These people live adjacent to the property. They live here. They pay taxes here. They choose to. And they're against this because of the way that they're afraid it's going to affect their quality of life, which I think is important to all of us, right? Some questions, though. Is general business required for the trail? Tim asked that question. I don't know the answer to that, but is it a requirement of the trail? The trail report that he just did estimates the cost at around $3.5 million for the trail, plus land acquisition costs. So where's that money going to come from? That's taxpayer money? Is that unidentified grant money? We don't have that lined up. Salt Creek Trails still needs a couple million bucks. We need that too, so we're at $5.5 million to build these trails. Let's just keep that in perspective. How much is the actual one-to-one match? So that Lilly grant requires a one-to-one match. Ron, you asked about it. What is the actual dollar amount that the county has agreed to contribute to that? What is the number?
2 minutes.
Okay. Those are my main questions. Thank you, guys.
Okay. All right. I have a question. There's a lot of comments on chatter about you guys not making this a public meeting because I'm not admitting everyone. Do you want me to admit everyone, or what would you like me to do?
Ask Moga.
Mike Moga. Hold on, I'll have to unmute you.
Yeah, you can continue. You do not have to admit everybody. We'll consider this technical issues that, as you mentioned, we'll clear in future meetings. But this, just because we have technical issues, doesn't mean that this meeting does not count.
Thank you.
Yeah. Does one of you have anything to add?
I'm good to vote.
Okay, let me just say a couple of things. Mrs. Stanley made a great point. She was very instrumental in our Kids Are Worth It campaign to get the teachers more money, which everybody agreed the teachers needed a raise. But that doesn't solve the problem of dwindling enrollment. And it seems to me that the same people that are on board with the kids in the same sentence will oppose anything different. I mean, here's just a few of the things that people have raised Cain about. The YMCA, the library, the music center, this county office building, the law enforcement center, the history center. Anything that goes in goes up exactly to this same amount of pushback, just because of whether it's the unknown or whatever the problem is. Now, as far as the comprehensive plan, the attorney mentioned some meaningful areas of this. I was looking at the last one I've got was 11, updated 13. And one thing that you'll always find with these comprehensive plans, there's never total specifics. There's always that little bit of subjectivity on everything. It's the only way it can be. But just in the current one, one of the paragraphs is that the desire to discourage economic decline and foster economic development are two sides of the same coin, and both are important elements in guiding a comprehensive plan for Brown County. Of the two, the desire to discourage economic decline is more important, for without it, there will be too few residents to preserve anything. And it goes on to say, what they perceive to be compatible economic development. Right now, under R2, some of the things that they could do without having to go through any of this would be, now obviously all this is predicated on, they're just not going to be able to go in there and start doing stuff without getting the state of Indiana involved on issues here, as far as, you know, the people who are concerned about flooding and this, that, and the other. Flooding's part of Brown County. Salt Creek golf course floods every year, and the water goes down. We play 3 days later. Those are the kinds of things. Millrace Park over in Columbus. Somebody mentioned Columbus, Indiana. Millrace Park floods all the time, and then it goes down, and it's usable again. And that's the reason that this is one of the few uses that I can see that would be compatible, because guess what? Those are on wheels, and they can go out and in. You can't build, Wabash apartments is a good example of what not to do in a floodplain. You know, I don't know how many people went broke out there buying it, and every time it floods, of course, then they went broke. So those are some concerns. But some of the things they could do, predicated on, you know, a variety of reasons, but right now, in our planning and zoning documents, R2, you can have a public or commercial sanitary fill, a refuse dump, or a garbage disposal plant. Okay? You could have, and you can't do that with general business, but you can in R2. What you can do, you could have a solid waste transfer station. We got one, but, you know, you could have a private one if you wanted. Those are the kinds of things. A solid waste convenience station. So there's you know, there are some things that make sense to push the ball forward. And so this, the whole thing about compatible economic development is everybody's got a different definition of what compatible is for Brown County. I mean, I grew up here, I love it, we just got a tombstone at Greenlawn put in yesterday, so I mean, I'm not going to go anywhere, I'm trying to do what I can to benefit the county, not hurt the county. I met with some of the opposition this past week because I'm concerned about, you know, their concerns, and we try to come to some kind of common ground on this. But like I said, every time there's a situation with any kind of a zone, last time I was commissioner, it was Story. You know, you'd have thought the world was coming to end there because, you know, somebody was going to have a bandstand and a wine festival. So that was going to be the end of the world, you know. So this is nothing new. Brown County goes through this every time, and that's kind of where I am, you know, right now.
Okay. Very good. Just let me say that, first of all, angry mobs do not change my mind. Peaceful mobs don't change my mind. I am in a position where I have to make a decision according to law and according to the guidelines we have from planning and zoning. As far as the development on those areas, we really don't have any jurisdiction over that. We can simply zone something for a number of different categories that result in a number of different things happening. I've always been opposed to the idea that zoning should be predicated on the wishes or non-wishes of people. The decision to make is whether or not to rezone this to general business. That's the decision we are faced with today. It's not about what's going to go on the property. It's not about who wants it or who doesn't want it. It's whether it meets the criteria for rezoning. One thing we have always said is it must have state road frontage. It should be in an area where there is already general business. And basically, all of our state roads drive them, general businesses all along 46 and 135. This property meets the requirements of general zoning decision. Now, what happens after, if we do this, what happens after that is going to be a nightmare for Jimmy Tilton, because he's going to have to deal with IDEN, he's going to have to deal with every acronym you can think of in the state of Indiana before you can do anything, especially in a flood area. He has to go through DNR, he has to go through IDEN, he has to go through state zoning, because anything he does there would be commercial. Then he has to be approved by Brown County. It's a long process to build a business starting from scratch. But that's not what the decision is we are faced with. We are faced with the decision simply, does this property meet the criteria outlined in the comprehensive plan that we have now and that we have to work on? There may be a new comprehensive plan that's totally different. However, that's all speculation. We don't know what will be in it. We have to work with what we have and make a decision on the basis of what we have to work with, the guidelines that we have. We respect the decisions of the APC, but we don't always follow them. There have been a number of cases in Brown County's history, one that comes to mind is in Nawbone, the APC gave a unanimous recommendation not to zone a property on State Road 46 for general business. It then went to commissioners, and it was a unanimous decision by the commissioners to rezone it. And that's because the commissioners felt that it was in the best interest of the people of Brown County to do so. It turned out that it was, and what we have now is Forest Field Apartments. That's 72 units that house people in Brown County. They're connected to the Nawbone Regional Sewer District. It cost almost $1 million. The developers paid that. So We have numerous examples of decisions made based on the best information and the law that we have to work with. I actually can find no reason why this property shouldn't be rezoned to general business based on the comprehensive plan, based on the fact that it meets the criteria in that plan. And so I feel like it's a legitimate request, and I will entertain the motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the rezoning.
Do I hear a second? Hearing none, I'll second that motion. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
No discussion?
I asked for it.
We usually have discussion.
Yeah, I asked for it, but I didn't hear anything.
Was that for the public?
No, it's more for us up here.
Oh, yeah. You're deciding that?
Again.
Go ahead.
Again, I'm disappointed.
Okay.
But you guys are out the door in less than 30 days, and you do something this with all your citizens in front of you, and the majority of them are saying no. All the stuff on that I've been getting, there's been a few people that have voted, not voted, but there's been a few people votes say their opinion was that they thought it should go through. But by far, the majority of the people don't want this. And Lake, you probably should have recused yourself.
Well, I got you.
Thank you, Mr. Sanders.
As elected officials, aren't you supposed to represent the will of the people?
No, not according to plan.
Order.
Well, my vote's nay.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Sanders. Thank you.
I just followed up on something that...
It's done.
Commissioner Sanders. But I want to address this. The idea that you shouldn't do your job because a new board convenes after the first of the year is outrageous and abhorrent. Try that with an actual employer, telling him you're going to give him 2 weeks' notice, but I'm going to sit over here and get on Facebook to thanks for paying me and see how that works out. We're in there until the midnight on the 31st, and we intend to
do the same
job. And you should do your job.
Okay, order. We have more business to do. Thank you all for coming. Please be quiet. We're still in a meeting. We have much business left to do. We had an hour and 40 minutes of discussion about this. Next on the agenda is the animal control people. And I think Greg Bennett, I'm just going to hear, I'd like to see what
Well, you're thinking the man could not just gone ahead of that.
Cut me off.
Cut back.
Okay. My name is Sue Ann Whirling. I'm here. I am a member of the Animal Control Commission. Greg Bennett couldn't be here today, so I am going to ask him. I believe before he left on vacation, he left the contract with you folks, so you could review it. The language in the contract is the same as it's always been, with the exception of changing the dates. Okay? The amount on the contract, from what I understand, is in the budget for 2025.
I'll make a motion that we go ahead and sign the contract as presented.
Thank you.
Here a second.
Would you take monthly payments on it?
I'm sorry?
Would you consider monthly payments?
Monthly payments.
Of the $50,000, so we don't have to pay it all at once.
Okay. What are you thinking? Because I bring a letter in January.
I'm good. I was just trying to lighten the air a little bit.
Okay. I think that's a good idea.
I think I'm good.
Are you good? Okay.
Do we need to make a, did you make a motion outside of it?
Yeah. Okay. All in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you guys so much. Really do appreciate it.
All that you folks do out there. Yeah. You have a wonderful facility. You have wonderful people that operate it. And an absolute gem in Brown County. Thank you.
Thank you all for everything you do.
Thanks, Joanne. Thank you for all you do.
Julie has decided to table her presentation, and I want to table the reindeer and the nativity scene.
Hang on. I don't want to table the nativity scene.
Okay.
You got 15 minutes.
I know. Well.
Well, there's only two places, so there's no place for me to sign.
Yep.
That's Julie.
Just sign on.
Member.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, nativity. That's where you're at then.
Ready for that?
Well, the reindeer are already out there.
We've had multiple people interested in us having a nativity scene on the courthouse lawn. And of course, always comes up about separation of church and state and all that. But we've got other counties. I know Jackson County's got a nativity scene there. You know, we were born a Christian nation. I don't see a big issue with it. So I would say, and there's people lined up that will be willing to donate to get a nice nativity scene, me included. But so I would say, I don't see any real reason why we couldn't do that. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that we pursue that. And I can take the
lead. Is there any conversation?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just giving you my perspective. Yeah.
You know, I kind of wish that we could do things like that. And I really kind of wish we could put up the Ten Commandments. But under what you said with the separation of church and state, you're setting the county up for a lawsuit. And what is it, ACLU or something?
Civil liberties.
That's a possible. Everything you do almost seems like you're setting us up for a possible lawsuit. And the other day you said something about, you actually said something about the lawyers that we were going to need is going to be unreal. And I can see where you're going with all of this. But you go ahead and make your motion.
I just did.
Which church? We have a motion. Do I hear a second? I'll make a second to that motion.
Okay.
Any discussion?
Yeah, I would like to just say that I kind of agree with the concerns about separation of church and state. Doug Cobble again. Yes, there are nativity scenes in Brown County. Jackson County had to go through
1 minute. Okay.
Jackson County had to go through a couple of lawsuits to get it approved. One court approved it or disapproved it, then the Court of Appeals approved it. And so there may be some litigation expenses. And also, I think there's also an issue of maybe opening the gates for some displays of religions that may or may not be something that you would want to have a courthouse on, which would be probably a concern I would have. Thank you.
There's a nativity scene over at the church a few blocks away from there, the Methodist Church.
Okay. Have a motion and a second.
Discussion.
More.
Like I said, I believe in God. I'll stand up and say it. But I also have a responsibility to the people of this county and to try and prevent any future lawsuits. Have you checked with the judge on this? Does she want to deal with this?
She said that she doesn't get involved in any of the things other than what she's involved with. So she had no opinion.
Okay.
Anything else? If not, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Abstain.
Okay. Rezoning of Combs Road. It's not really a rezoning.
It's not really a rezoning issue. It's a reopening of Combs Road.
Here's the situation. Combs Road was a county road. All of it was a county road until 2004. And commissioners at that time voted to turn it, not to close it, but to stop maintaining it at a point. So if you drive down there, you go down Elvis Hill Road, you're going to turn left, and it looks like a county road, and it is. I think you cross a creek, and there's a house and a barn, and then there's a gate. And I think the county did not put that gate up. I think DNR put the gate up. There's a gate on the other end of it where it enters Jackson County. This is an abandoned road. It's still a county road. It's just a non-maintained road. They did not vote to close it. So this road connects with Jackson County. Jackson County has a county road that's maintained right up to the county line of Brown and Jackson. And there are folks that would like to at least reopen this as a non-maintained road, basically just to go through there with the dozer and clear it off at the end like it was in 20 years ago. And they've asked us to consider that. And I don't know that we've... This is a legal question. I don't know that we have to really do anything because it's a non-maintained county road. It's supposed to stay a non-maintained county road. We just want to take the gates down and clear it out so people can go through there with whatever they can get through there with. Not going to cost the county any money. Any comments? Yes. Thank you.
Melissa Stinson. I actually live on Cricket Creek, which that comes up over the hill, over Brown, over, what is that, Browning Mountain, is that what they call it? Comes down and goes across Turkey Holler and then out to my house where there is actually another gate. And those gates are maintained by Paintown and the DNR. And so if you're gonna open that, you better make sure that you close those others and you put up gates so they cannot get over the hillside. Because we lost two lives back there. That's why that was originally shut down and asked by DNR. I was a big, big four-wheel person. Many, many years ago, lots of big 44 tires and lots. There's a big holes back there. And there's a lot of redo to be done. Mm-hmm. I think it's a fantastic idea, but I think it has to be maintained and done correctly. And he'll have his hands full. So, and DNR will as well. So you might want to check with them before you open up everything.
Yeah, we definitely would check with them.
And we actually went out there, AREC, May, we had two guys from NDOT, we had representatives from both of the off-road vehicle clubs from Brown County and Jackson County, which that is, those two groups combines well over 2,500 people. And even the state representative, Dave Hall, came out there and took his Bronco out. We did a swore right through there. So, and I talked to a gentleman. Of course, Aaron Hart has been actively involved in the pursuit of this, and he had gotten in touch with somebody from the DNR, and they had a guy from the Forestry Service call me, Mike Chavez, who's out of Bedford, and who is, you know, I explained what we were looking for, and he said that, you know, let us know how this all comes to pass, and then it's kind of like the Tilton thing. You can't get it all done in one puzzle. I mean, you got to put one piece after the next to get the whole thing done. And so right now, he's amenable to hearing back from us, and so I'm just saying we have checked with, you know, as far as who owns
what. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that once you open that gate,
right,
there's a multiple of other roads and things that come into play. I mean, I don't even know how many great big bicycle trails these guys have that go into Miller Ridge and drop over into Crooked Creek because they have a bunch. And so that would open up a trail for somebody to actually take their smaller four-wheel drive vehicles through. So
well,
you have to think about that when you open.
And to your point, though, that has also been mentioned that there's other road finger systems out through there, which you could actually, at some point, you could make that like a destination like they do. I'm just throwing this out. What you can and can't do is, you know, going to be up to somebody else. But here's the thing. West Virginia, Michigan,
it's a
massive, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of income to the county. So I'm just saying it's worth investigating.
Right, it is. But along with that, just make sure that all those other areas are covered.
You keep it straight.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that the other one that I would recommend is that, I don't know if you all talked to Senator Braun and Houchin about this, but that's right in the middle of the wilderness recreation area that they've been pushing to get passed. So I would have a conversation with them before you decided anything, because you're exactly right. There's a lot of mountain bike trails that cut through there, and hiking trails that cut through there, and protected wilderness that cuts through there. So I think that's a much bigger conversation.
I mean, I think there's a place for the autos. I really do, and I think it's a great thing to do. I just think that you guys need to make sure what they're connecting.
It's, they're not going Cones Road to Crooked Creek. It's just Cones Road to Jackson County. So they wouldn't be going the other way.
They won't be going over Brownie Mountain?
No, it would just be Elginsville Road, turn left on Cones, and that goes to Jackson County. It doesn't go the other way.
Okay.
Well, I suggest if we look further into it and talk with all applicable organizations or government agencies that have any jurisdiction over that property. As long as they get that worked out. I don't think we actually have to do anything today.
No.
We're not reopening really. We're still in the main road. So if you get the DNR to agree to let the gates down, we have volunteers who can run a bulldozer through there.
And I'll continue talking to those folks there, you know, with that and this the Chavez with the forestry and DNR and see if we can't get a hold of Aaron Hutchins and Governor Braun.
Very good. To wrap up here, we've got Teresa. Well, we've got a possible vagrancy ordinance discussion. We have no law in this county, no ordinance against vagrancy. We have an individual who's camped out on Salt Creek Trail, who's, I think, a homeless man, who's made his home there on the trail. I think he's not the only one that we have in that situation. We have four of them now.
Yes.
And we can't do anything about it because we don't have an ordinance. Mm-hmm. The sheriff can't go out there and say we've got to move. So I think the commissioners need to draft and pass an ordinance against them.
We can't have, you know, people over a complaint concerned about some other issue should certainly be concerned about having a homeless community down here.
Mike, you can speak up if I say it wrong, but I did speak with Logo on this. He did give you guys some information via email about possible wording, he said. And our public camping actually could help us with this currently, but our current ordinance doesn't have the what happens if you do.
The city could have legal, Mike Mogul and his people have drafted some ordinance.
Because we can tell somebody to move and that they can't do it, but we don't have any teeth to anything to be able to say, hey, you need to leave. Or
can we vote in our health officer so he can speak?
Yes.
He would like to speak.
We're running out of time, but yeah.
Yeah. But no on this subject.
One minute.
Mark Shields, Parks and Rec, just a quick clarification question. This ordinance that Teresa was describing, would this be something that would pertain solely to the trail or all public property?
It should be all public property. I mean, as far as the county property, I don't know what Nashville wants to do, but as far as everything we own,
as county owned,
it should be addressed because, you know, they were camping out here for a while and then they were on the trail and, they're, you know, they just move around and we just can't really have that. I mean, we want to take care of them, but there's places that they can be taken to that address that issue, and putting up a tent here in the parking lot's not one of them.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, we went from being Christian to wanting to go beat up on
them. Trying to take care of them. They're starving to death out there. They can go over and get a hot meal and do everything else. Well, way better.
I think they're pretty tough people, man, if they're living in 11-degree weather in a tent and a sleeping bag, maybe.
So
you need a plan.
They could be at other places besides here. That would be much better for them.
Can we vote in?
I want to introduce
You want me to go to, yes, go ahead.
Tommy, do that.
Yeah, we're going to go real fast, and then the gentleman that we are talking about wants to talk about the issue that you just brought up.
Okay.
We recently received a resignation from our current health officer, Norman Oestreich. He wants to retire. And I just wanted, for the record, to show our appreciation for the great service that he's done to the county. He saw us through COVID and a lot of the problems that we had through that, so we were very honored to have him. And to that effect, we needed to select a new health officer. The board met a few weeks ago, and we unanimously voted in Dr. Michael Conway, and I'd like to introduce him, and he can say a few words, but he will be a great asset to the county, and we're just really excited about it, so here it is.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
And we need your affirmation on that.
So. Yes.
just by way of introduction, very quickly, Dr. Mike Conway practiced in Jackson County for 35 years, retired onto a lake. Moved back because my wife wanted to get closer to the family. So we live up by Morgantown. I have experience as a county health officer. I'm currently the county health officer of LaGrange County.
He comes with all the qualifications and experience and job, and we're happy to find him.
Yes, we are.
And so, we want to vote?
Yep, we'll get to go ahead and make a motion to approve the what your board did.
Yes.
So moved.
Yeah, motion. Do I hear a second? Not hearing a second, I'll second the motion. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign.
Nay. Welcome aboard, Doc. And then, did you say that he had something to say about vagrancy or flood water?
About vagrancy, if anybody's living in a site without a septic system, they would fall under the purview of the health department as a public health risk. If someone deemed that they were living there and they don't have facilities, then it'd be a public health risk.
Well, that solves our problem.
Here you go, Mark.
It's your problem, right?
It might be.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. We like you
Thank
already.
Thank you very much. And I would entertain a motion for adjournment. It is 4 o'clock.
Oh,
you know why?
You can't.
You can't.
Yeah,
I would get Eric's stuff done.
We have his report.
He has bids.
We've put it off already.
Eric has bids that have to be open today.
Well, that presents a problem.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, come on, man. We can do Eric's bids at least in county business.
Okay, they can't be postponed more than once.
So
do you want me to open and you read? Do we need to make this formal? Sandy, what do we do?
Yes.
I'll approve
it by a
minute extension.
Okay, there you go. Read fast.
This will be easy. I don't have to go over numbers. This is just our bids for materials for the year. So I've got Wagler Brothers Excavating. They have bid on our hauling part, just our hauling materials to us. And all of these I will review and award as I see fit with the right numbers and bids. U.S. Aggregates, they have bid on all of our stone, riprap, everything we buy out of Columbus. And Keystone Cooperative, they are sending us numbers for our gasoline and our diesel fuel that we buy from Highway and everyone else here in the county that uses it. I've got Premier Energy bidding on diesel fuel and gas also.
We currently have Keystone.
No.
We have Premier.
Premier. I've got EMB Paving that's pricing out all their asphalt, their cold patch, their hot mix, their surface asphalt materials. I've got Easy Street asphalt company that's pricing their cold patch bag in bag, their four ball.
Who was that? I'm sorry.
Easy Street Asphalt. It's Flynn Brothers.
Oh, okay.
They're out of Louisville.
And that's asphalt.
We got Milestone. And they've got the same thing for our asphalt stuff, asphalt materials.
Fort Knox.
DuBois County Tire and Supply, they're pricing out tires and repairs and service calls.
And who was that?
DuBois County Tire and Supply. I can go back over these with you. We've got Pomp's Tire Service out of Seymour. They are pricing tires and repairs and service calls. And then Civilcon, they're pricing out all their culvert pipes.
What do you call it?
Civilcon, culvert pipes, box culverts, bridge packages, drainage stuff, etc. So I'll review these, and then take me a little while, then I will contact the vendors and let everyone know who's been picked.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Very
good. Some of the obviously same vendors, are excited about another company bidding on the fuel because we had no competitive bid for several years. Good deal. Okay. Motion
to Moga. Does Mike Moga got any legal advice?
He can't unmute.
Apparently not.
Thank you for that. And I appreciate you guys giving us a little extra time to go over the bids. Just for clarification, given the time, Eric's going to go through and calculate who the lowest bidder was for each material and then can report back to you guys at the next meeting on who the winning vendors are.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm looking to adjourn with your second.
I'll second that.
Okay. All favor, raise your right hand. Say aye.
Aye.
Thank you for those who bored out to the end. Do we have the paper here today, don't we?